the martial law. Rock and roll and cola wars, I can't take it anymore. We didn't start the fire. Hello, and welcome to Of the People. I'm Robert Chernin. Thank you so much for joining us again. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Seems to me we may be in the latter and not the former, as it's just been announced by an Iranian parliament member, or a member of the Iranian parliament, that they have achieved nuclear weapons. The long-feared nuclearization of Iran appears to be here at the height of the war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. So as goes the fate of Israel, so they say, goes the fate of the world, certainly the Western world. So I'm very proud to announce that ASIC, the American Center for Education and Knowledge, is hosting Israel Appreciation Day on June 5th in Washington, D.C., and streaming live on the web. And here's some more information on this very important event. Why Israel Appreciation Day? Because no one is telling the Israel story about why Israel's existence is so important, not just as a Jewish state, and not just as an ally of the United States, but for all the positive achievements Israel has contributed to the world in science, technology, medicine, human rights, religious freedoms, rule of law, democracy, and so on. We need to start winning the public relations information war and change the narrative, especially among our younger generations. We need to get the information out there and arm those people who understand the seminal importance of Israel to the world. And being the Jewish homeland doesn't begin to tell that story of why Israel is so important. It's something we all can come together on, and honestly, it's something we all must come together on. It is imperative the general public understands the nature of the very special relationship between Israel and the United States and Israel's importance to the world. So please join us on June 5th in Washington, D.C., as we celebrate Israel Appreciation Day. And if you cannot be there in person, we'll be streaming live on the web at israelappreciationday.com. Never again is now. And never again is now, Erica.
Yes, it is.
It is. So Iran now has nuclear weapons.
That is
so, says the Iranian. So
horrifying.
Well, never again may actually be now. And that's the problem. And I guess, you know, my issue with all of this is, what's my favorite line? Where's the outrage? There is absolutely no outrage that under the Biden administration, that's shipping them money in the middle of the night and unfreezing assets that allows them and their proxies to attack Israel. And they now achieve nuclear weapons capacity. So says the Iranians. Where's the outrage?
The outrage is right here with me declaring Joe Biden officially the worst president in American history. I mean, what a POS this guy is, his administration.
So Trump said at the rally in New Jersey, which I don't know if you saw it, there were somewhere around 100,000 people in Wildwood, New Jersey, blue state of New Jersey. And if you remember Commissioner Joe Cilio from South Jersey, the Vineland area, who was telling us that New Jersey is starting to move red, maybe he was right. But Trump said that if you add up the 10 worst presidents in the history of the country, they don't equal what Joe Biden has done to this country.
I think the only thing comparable would be who brought us the Federal Reserve? Who was responsible for that? That guy might be the worst. But
well, Alexander Hamilton, I think, brought us the central bank. And if Lord Benjamin is in the sidelines doing his computer gig thing and about looking that stuff up again, he can look it up. But who brought us the Federal Reserve? I think that was a 20th century Great Depression thing, but I don't really know. So you have just stumped the stump master.
I love it. I'm actually looking it up because Benjamin is behind my camera doing something, trying to get my attention.
He's behind your camera? Cannot,
really? Yeah, he's
so he's cameraing you from behind?
Wow.
He said he's behind the camera. I'm like, he's cameraing you from behind. I'm like, okay. So
it was Woodrow Wilson. I should have known that.
There
he was also a famous racist and communist. or Marxist and socialist.
Woodrow Wilson was the first progressive president, you know, in the annals, I think, of the country. It's sort of a Barack Obama protege. But Erica, where's the outrage?
The outrage. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we all called this when the bajillion gazillion. Didn't we cover this when they sent the bajillion dollars over? And we were like, oh, in 5 minutes, they're going to have a nuclear war. Somebody is going to have to go back and quote us.
Well, you have to wonder on the delivery vehicle for a nuclear weapon. So says Chekhov in Star Trek. I forget how that accent works. But, you know, what's the delivery vehicle? And what happens if the Iron Dome intercepts a nuclear warhead? There's an interesting process for you.
Ooh. Well, considering the Biden administration waited until after Holocaust Remembrance Day to say that they were going to cut off aid to Israel, we'll see if they have funding for the Iron Dome.
Well, no, they said they were going to
cut off offensive weapons, but
right. Yeah, I got it.
You know, soon enough, you know.
So let's go back to the whole outrage thing. So I do want to let's I mean, there's so much serious, you know, unfunny stuff to talk about. But I have to tell you, as I look through the news, you know, I always say that, you know, Tony Bennett, I left my heart in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I wanted to self-identify as, I don't know, some, you know, black lesbian from San Francisco to get some reparations money. I now not only want to do that, but I want to move to San Francisco to get the free alcohol that they're giving.
Oh, because
If you're a homeless person in San Francisco, it's called the MAD program. Let's see if I got this right.
Yeah.
The managed alcohol program.
Yeah.
Right. Is giving out free shots of vodka to homeless alcoholics.
I love it.
And you know, in what kind of Alice in Wonderland world? I mean, the left coast is the left coast, but it's almost like up the down staircase. So, because wait a minute. Here's their logic. Wait a minute. They said by prescribing limited quantities of alcohol, the model aims to prevent potentially life-threatening effects of alcohol withdrawal. So we don't want you to go through alcohol withdrawal and get better because it's life threatening.
Right.
So better you should stay a drunk, and we're going to give you free alcohol.
They had kegs set up. This is the best part, Robert. They had kegs set up in the lobby so that if you were part of the program, you could just walk in and pour yourself a beer. You know, one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer, and then be on your merry way. If there is not more evidence of the anti-human nature of the left and these progressive policies, this is it. It is ensuring the miserable death of another human being. That's what it is.
But it's a non sequitur. I feel like I'm in Ayn Rand, right? Atlas Shrugged. So basically you get a motel room, three meals a day, and enough alcohol, quote, to meet their addiction needs, close quote. And it's run by the San Francisco Sobering Center.
They call things the opposite, right? This is what they do with the bills. They call it the opposite of what it is they're actually doing. This is outrageous. Did you see the price tag on it, Robert? Did you see the price tag?
Five mil.
And
five mil.
How many people did they tell them? Tell the audience how many people they served.
Well, it's a 20-bed program in the Tenderloin District, which means if it's in the Tenderloin District, so you get a steak with it too, right? I'll have my Tenderloin medium.
Yes.
Thank you very much. But it's just,
Sobering program. 65. No, Robert. They only served 65 people in that entire time.
Can I be 66? I want to be number 66.
$5 million.
I don't drink beer. Okay. For the record.
Yeah.
I'm not a beer guy, but vodka. I mean, you know, well, the question is what kind of vodka? Like well vodka?
It's going to be that bottom shelf, like in the giant plastic jug that worst hangover of your life.
Not if I'm going there. By the way, here's the other thing, said the manager.
Oh, you're an uppity homeless person? Robert Chernin's going to be an uppity homeless person. Demand top shelf vodka.
Well, at least close to top shelf. They also said, quote, marijuana use is fairly common in our sites. And they said there's no policy prohibiting marijuana consumption.
Oh, my God. This These is like, people.
I left my drugs in San Francisco. Sorry, had to, you know. But so that's outrage number one. You just sit there and, it, you know, it's. And by the way, the best part about this is that $5 million.
Yeah.
Is OPM.
Other people's money.
So they're spending $5 million for, you know, 65 however many people to give them alcohol so they don't go through the DTs because if they go through withdrawals, it's going to be life-threatening. And therefore, let's just keep you drunk. Oh, and by the way, if you have a joint or two, it's okay. I just sit there and go, these are your elected leaders.
Yeah, and that's California sober, by the way, Robert. So if you quit drinking and doing drugs except weed, that's called California sober.
Well, wait a minute. If I quit doing drugs or quit drinking, how would you say quit drinking and smoking weed or quit doing, I would then become sober, realize I was in California and I didn't want to be there. And that would cause much more harm to my psychological well-being. Not sure about my physical well-being, and I'd need to get the heck out of there. How's that?
Here's my deal. Here's what I think. These people have an underlying need to continue their job. So what they really did was string along a bunch of drunks for a few years with getting paid lots of money to do it.
Amazing to me. So that's outrage number one, right? WTO. Where's the outrage?
Oh, I love it.
Outrage number two is the city of Denver, you know, a sanctuary city, is now overrun with illegal immigrants that they have to house. And last year, I think, I forget the mayor's name, but the mayor wanted to cut funding to police and other city services so they could provide more for the illegal immigrants, because now the illegal immigrants who are in temporary housing and the city wants to move them to permanent housing. What do you think the illegal immigrants said?
No.
We said, we're not going unless you meet our 13 demands. We're not going to permanent housing. Right. They have 13 specific demands before they agree to the Denver Human Services request to leave the encampment and move to, quote, a permanent shelter funded by the city. These demands include, if you're gonna have demands, they include fresh, culturally appropriate food, no time limit on showers, and free immigration lawyers. You can't make this stuff up.
Do you know how much an immigration lawyer costs? People spend so much money to come here as a legal immigrant. And you come here. Look, I feel bad for these people. I get it. Y'all got sold a bill of goods. Some butthole NGO told you that you could come here and that we were going to welcome you with open arms and it was going to be so easy and great. And then you got hosed by a cartel coyote person, probably got, you know, victimized even worse on your way here. Like, I get it. I'm sorry. But guess what? It's not my fault, and it's not my responsibility to take care of you.
Look. Nobody asked
you to come here, literally. Except for Joe Biden.
I hate to sound xenophobic because that's what the list, you know, some people are going to accuse me of. But charity begins at home. And by that, I mean, let's take care of Americans first. We have so many other issues and problems, whether it's the fentanyl crisis, the drug addiction, you know, opioid drug addiction issues, the homelessness, the real homelessness in this country. You know, there's so many other things, jobs, inflation. You name it. But what they basically said is. They said that if we don't get our demands met, we're not leaving. And by the way,
we're not leaving.
So the demands, not leaving the shelter.
Yeah.
They're not going to permanent. So we're going to spite you. We're going to stay at the impermanent place and have you pay for it rather than move us to a permanent. I mean, at the end of the day, you come to this country illegally, whether you were coyoted or muled or whatever illegally. And you are provided all these services and benefits for free. And now you're making other demands that's to, of the city that is your host. And they said the following. Here's their demands in writing. Migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city instead of pre-made meals. Rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. Shower access will be available without time limit and can be accessed whenever. Medical professionals' visits will happen regularly, and referrals connect.
Oh wait! For specialty care. Medical visits for the medical. Right. I can't demand that I get medical treatment. But you okay? I'm sorry for interrupting. Right. Keep going.
No more verbal or physical or mental abuse will be permitted from the staff, including no sheriff sleeping inside and monitoring 24/7. We are not criminals and won't be treated as such.
Too bad. You are a criminal.
You are a criminal. I just sit here and go,
talking about? You literally are a criminal alien. We just aren't allowed to say that anymore because it's uncouth.
Well, look, you broke the law to enter this country. You're a criminal. You may not be a criminal convicted by a court of law because you're not being brought up before a judge because you're in a sanctuary city, draining the city's ass. And look, I'm with you. I'm not heartless, and we should do our best to provide, but at the expense of cutting back on the police.
Yeah, no. Well, they cut everything. They cut tons of city services. They cut school stuff, young parks and rec. They cut tons, millions and millions of dollars they cut from city services, and particularly hitting low income neighborhoods. That's the worst. But what is that? Before we share the fan video,
you have a fan video.
What is we do? We had a fan.
We have a fan. Whose name shall remain nameless.
And he sent us a compilation for Where's the Outrage? What is the Bible verse that says like a man that doesn't take care of his own house is worse than an infidel? 1 Timothy 5:8. Oh, is that New Testament?
Something about he who divides his own house shall inherit the wind. How am I doing?
Oh, well, there's that too. But the point, there's a Bible verse that basically it says he who doesn't first take care of his own house is worse than an infidel. And that's what it makes me think about with all of these things. Like Denver, you're not taking care of your already sick, poor, and suffering. What in the heck are you doing? And this right here, this is how it makes us feel.
WTO. Where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? The outrage over, where's the outrage? 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 Where do we go from here? And folks, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? The outrage? Where's the outrage?
Where do we go from here?
So my first outrage, sense of outrage, the outrage.
Who did bang bang with fang fang?
Outrage.
W-T-O.
The outrage.
And on that note, thank you for being with us. Stay tuned.
So whoever that one fan is, thank you for that. I guess I'm a WTO guy, right? I just say it a lot. I do it a lot. I think it a lot. I feel it a lot. So
Where do we go from here? He says that's another comment we say. Where do we go from here?
Well, I can tell you where we go from here. We go to San Francisco to get the three free meals, the alcohol, and the motel.
Free room and board.
Hey, I'm moving from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, I'll be number 66. You know, you got your kicks on Route 66. I'll be San Francisco 66.
I don't know why we try so hard. This is what I'm like. Why do I run a business? Why do I work so hard? Why was I up working till like 11 o'clock last night? What? You know what? I should just go back to being a drunk and living on the street and getting free
things. Nah, don't go there. So
I couldn't.
So we ready for more outrage? I have a couple
Let's
more.
Let's do it. Oh, you we do?
So Do you remember the congressman from New York who pulled the fire alarm and then said he thought it was the door he was opening?
Yeah.
Jamal Bowman.
I wasn't trying to interrupt a vote.
So the squad member, you know, think Ilhan Omar, AOC, yeah. Ayanna Pressley, Jamal Bowman, right, is the guy that, I thought it was the exit that I was pulling. Yeah, okay. He was pulling something else, but it ended up being the fire alarm. Turns out that Congressman Bowman has a secret YouTube channel, right? He's this moderate guy. They found this secret YouTube channel. Now, not only, I mean, he's part of the squad, right? So he subscribes to all this anti-Semitic stuff, but he also subscribes to the channels that preach flat earth, the earth is flat, and that the Illuminati are real. This is your congressman in, I think it's Westchester.
So wait. Let me make sure I have this straight. Right. The Jews rule a flat earth.
No,
according
actually,
according to Jamal Bowman.
Well, first of all, he subscribes to Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan's channel.
Is he a black Hebrew Israelite?
Right. Blacks are the true Jews. So, I mean, you sit there and go, where's the outrage, right? Where do you go from here with something like this? I mean, well, I thought it was the exit, you know, the exit, but I pulled the fire alarm by mistake, which is a crock of crap. We both all know that. But
wild.
But now, it's called the Inner Peace account. Let's see. He subscribes to Bowman channel, followed troves of accounts peddling bonker claims about aliens, flat earth theory, UFOs, and the Illuminati. These are the people making laws, folks. Why things are so messed up. You sit here and I don't get it.
I mean, let me play devil's advocate. Okay.
You? Is that with
Joe
or without
Rogan? Pitchfork, I know.
Pitchfork and tails. Pitchfork and tails?
I'm saying, okay, Joe Rogan has on people who talk about flat earth and aliens and all that other stuff. So is it like legit crazy people they're trying to make Joe Rogan out to be a bad guy. And he has all those people on his show too.
He has Jamal Bowman on the show, Congressman?
No, alien people and flat earth people.
Come on.
He does. He interviews everybody. Who's that guy that there's like a guy.
The interview that I would like to see is Bill Maher and Joe Rogan with each other.
Bill Maher has to have been on Joe Rogan.
Well,
oh my God.
All right. Before we go to first break, my fourth and last.
Okay.
WTO for the show.
Okay. I'm ready.
So, you know, I have so many girlfriends in life, right? Mad Maxine is in the news again. Maxine Waters, right? Mad Maxine, my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now claims that Trump supporters are training up in the hills for after the election. She goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect our country against violence if Biden loses, because you can't trust anything Donald Trump says. And no matter if he loses, he's going to say it was a fraud. And he said, you know, and they're up in the hills training, attacking this country. And he's talking about perhaps a bloodbath, which, by the way, the bloodbath was it.
They're so stupid.
The bloodbath was the electric cars in Mexico are going to create a bloodbath in the auto industry, folks.
Oh, my God, I hate her so much.
Perhaps
going to
be trouble.
She's so awful.
Do you know what state she's from?
California.
Which has something in common with what? San Francisco and vodka. So maybe she was one of the homeless people who were in the alcohol program that got away and made her way to Congress. What do you think? You think I'm onto something? Come on.
I can't even right now with you.
Come on. but you sit here and you go, I mean, this is like an Alice in Wonderland thing, right? You're like,
this is the same lady who was telling everybody to go out into the streets and harass people and harass Trump supporters and don't let them have peace.
Right. By the way, being Bobby that I am, I have that exact quote. And she said it many times, but here's her quote. Let's make sure we show up whenever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from the cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And anywhere. You know what? You know what happens when you pull a crowd, a mob?
Let me finish, because the last sentence is we've got to go get their children connected to their parents. So go after the kids
no,
too.
No, she didn't.
I'm looking at the quote. I'm looking at it. So there is a serious side to this, folks.
Person, but, she is. She's such a.
Right. I mean, you know, not to mention the other quote, we've got to stay on the street and we've got to get more active and we've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know we mean business. So if that's not a call to violence, right? So the Trump supporters, so that means you and I have to go to the hills and start training because, you know, we're one of those. I mean, I'm sure we're one of the sort of the redneck, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Militia.
Oh, we're definitely the problem.
So Trump supporters training up in the hills for an election attack. And again, no accountability, no consequences, no outrage. So am I the only one that is outraged by that? That's become an acceptable norm, right?
No.
Especially within the Democratic Party. So the Democratic Party is frankly so far left. You even have guys like Joe Manchin who have said that the Democratic Party has to now start getting responsible and assume responsibility. You know, he says that the Republican Party has to become grand again, which I don't know quite what that means, but it used to be called the Grand Old Party. But I just sit there and go, where's the outrage? You know, there is a theme here, right? The ludicrous San Francisco, feed them vodka, let them drink vodka, she said, just like Marie Antoinette, to coin a phrase. That's why we started with the best of times, worst of times, by the way. It does feel like a, you know, Charles Dickens novel. But there's a connection between San Francisco serving them vodka, right? The pro-immigration, pro-sanctuary city, or a pro-illegal immigration, pro-sanctuary city, defy the law, federal law of Denver that's being hoisted on their own petard with Jamal Bowman, who is the New York congressman who, you know, basically is, you know, what would you say, a conspiracy theorist for real on the side and flatline. And then you have sort of this left-wing, irrational, hate-mongering, violent, instigating Maxine Waters. And all of that is okay. So forget about each of these individually. Where's the outrage?
It's right here.
And where do we go from here?
Right now. From here, we go to an ad for Israel Appreciation Day.
Sanity.
There we go. Let's do it.
Why Israel Appreciation Day? Because no one is telling the Israel story about why Israel's existence is so important, not just as a Jewish state, and not just as an ally of the United States, but for all the positive achievements Israel has contributed to the world in science, technology, medicine, human rights, religious freedoms, rule of law, democracy, and so on. We need to start winning the public relations information war and change the narrative, especially among our younger generations. We need to get the information out there and arm those people who understand the seminal importance of Israel to the world. And being the Jewish homeland doesn't begin to tell that story of why Israel is so important. It's something we all can come together on, and honestly, it's something we all must come together on. It is imperative the general public understands the nature of the very special relationship between Israel and the United States and Israel's importance to the world. So please join us on June 5th in Washington, D.C., as we celebrate Israel Appreciation Day. And if you cannot be there in person, we'll be streaming live on the web at israelappreciationday.com. Never again is now.
That's right. Never again.
Never again is now. Look, the juxtaposition of really what you're talking about is words versus deeds. Because when you look at these sort of disconnected, progressive, hard left policies, they will say one thing, but judge them not by what they say. Judge them by what they do, right? And there's no better example of that. I mean, obviously, you know, we just went past Holocaust Remembrance Day, and there you have President Biden, and rightfully gets up. He gives an excellent speech, by the way, at the, you know, in honor of Holocaust Remembrance, and emphatically says never again. And yet Israel is at war, they are at war defending themselves because they were the ones that attacked. And what does he do the next day or the day after? He lets it know that he's going to cut off weapons supplies to Israel in fighting this war. So is never again really never again? So do you judge him based on the words, or do you judge him based on the actions?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
That's Benjamin and I have often had conversations about this, particularly people who say Trump is a racist, sexist bigot, you know, whatever. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but the gist was, I don't care if he's a racist as long as he doesn't behave in a way, as long as he doesn't mess with my money. I don't care if you're the biggest misogynist butthole, and this is me talking. I don't care if you hate women. Are you interfering with my money, or are you just over there hating women? As long as you're out of my way, I don't care. And
that's what makes you a libertarian.
But this guy, I mean,
well,
to just lie to people's face. Or to behave in a way to save face, and then just do the act complete opposite, you know?
Wait a minute. Where do you think this comes from? He learned at the knees of the master. The master was Barack Obama, who not only, I mean, he would say things and then do something else. Well, if you like your health care, you can keep it. And which is just one of the inconsistencies of saying one thing and yet doing another. But as long as for public consumption, you can say, what I said that, it doesn't matter what you do because there are no consequences. And there's so much cacophony of noise that drowns mm-hmm. out. And people are so busy trying to eke out a living, right? And where did Barack Obama learn that and the rest of them? I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Yasser Arafat, who was the leader of the PLO, would say one thing in English to the Western world and say the exact opposite in Arabic to the faithful. What's the difference here?
Yeah,
right.
Was the last time? Here's the thing: they suffer no consequences for the lies, and that's what it comes down to. When was the last time you remember a politician, particularly a Democrat, suffering any consequences for just straight up lying to people? I don't remember a time.
Well, I mean, you remember sometimes when you were younger, you know, seemingly so they get elected, they get booted out of office. But I sit
here's
here
the and deal. I learned everything I needed to learn when I saw Bill Clinton in front of God and everyone say, well, it depends on what your definition of the word is. Yes.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I learned everything I needed to know in that moment.
Look, saying one thing and doing another. Look, that's one thing you have to say about Trump, right? If anything, Trump is the reverse, right? He is not gifted of a gifted of oratory like Barack Obama is was and is, but he generally, when you sort of can parse his language, and it's kind of hard because he's sort of a Queens guy at heart, and you get to what he really means. Most people are not going in retrospect, oh, he was right about this. He was right about the oil. He was right about the economy. He was right about the border. He was right about the Middle East. All of those things. So you have on the one hand, someone who says one thing and does another versus someone who says something and basically does the same thing, even though he is not the most eloquent and not the most articulate in all of this.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
I would rather have that guy all day.
Well, so what do you make of 100,000 people in blue New Jersey at the rally? I don't know if you saw the pictures, but, you know, I'm a Jersey boy. They're down in Wildwood. I mean, that place was mobbed. 100,000 people, 80,000, 120, whatever.
I love it. I think that, you know, they the left has severely overplayed its hand. And every time I hear anything about Target losing money, Target not putting gay pride stuff in their stores all over the country anymore, Bud Light losing money, you know, where you see real Americans taking a stand against these big corporations and against, you know, because we live in an oligarchy, right? We don't live in the United States of America where our vote counts and whatever. Our federal government.
Sure you do. The question is, do you live in a constitutional republic? You still live in the United States. They haven't changed. By the way, did they change the name of the country when I was like sleeping?
What did I say?
You said you don't live in the United States of America. I'm like, okay, well, where do you live?
Well, I'm saying, like, we're run by a bunch of oligarchs, right?
That's
BlackRock,
different.
State Street, Vanguard.
It's still called the United States of America, so that you still live in the United
whatever.
States.
Oh, my God.
Did you just whatever me?
Oh,
now
yes.
You're going to say fine, right? Whatever. Fine. Okay. The two words that, ladies and gentlemen, when a woman says, you know they're not. So just being the inner misogynist sexist in me. But, well, I mean, seriously. You still live in the United States. The question is, do you live in a constitutional republic where the laws, you know, justice is blind and the laws apply equally?
Right. And we know that they don't.
Okay. In that case, you still live in the United States. You just don't live in a constitutional republic. I mean, that's really
right.
The argument here. But I want to get back to this theme of words versus deeds, because it's now playing itself out in a myriad of ways. The other thing we always have talked about is sort of the corruption, political power play of the teachers unions.
So
the teachers unions, by the way, since 2018, you want to talk about actions have consequences. We've argued that the teachers unions are not about the teachers. They're definitely not about the kids. All they're about is about the political playback in the machine and their own power and pushing progressive policies, which if you can say three times fast, you're better than me. They've lost 220,000 members since 2018, ostensibly, right? Because they're a political organization. The NEA, which is what we're talking about, has had a mass exodus since 2018 of almost 250,000 of their members, right? After the Janus decision, which Janus is J-A-N-U-S. Janus decision basically said that you can leave the union and you don't have to, if you're a teacher, be a union and you can still work. But again, it's another example of you say one thing, oh, we're for the teachers, but your actions and where you spend your money shows that you're something else.
Yep. Right?
Say one thing, words, do something else, deeds.
Well,
words versus deeds.
I was... interestingly enough, listening to a study this week that was said about 10% of public school children are victims of some kind of sexual misconduct from a teacher, coach, or bus driver, most likely the three.
How did they come up with 10%? How did they come up with that number?
I have to look into the study a little bit more, but they were saying 5 million of the 50 million students in school will have something happen to them.
That's a hard number for me to believe. If that's the number, that then we are in worse trouble than I thought. And it's no wonder we're losing the younger generation to the anti-Israel BDS pro-Hamas supporters.
And that's what they found, is that a lot of times, instead of dealing with this instead of dealing with, like, actually catching teachers in relations with students, they let the teacher resign or just switch school districts. So much like other scandals we've seen in the past, these abusers are just getting shuffled around the system instead of criminally prosecuted because the school doesn't want to deal with it.
Well, it sounds like another story I remember about 20 years ago. But I just question those numbers.
Yeah.
Not because I don't think they're real. It's just, I'd like to see how they came up with those numbers.
It's stunning.
That is an egregious percentage. I mean, 1% would be egregious, but if you're telling me it's 10%, it is pretty harsh. But
I'd love to get one of the we have a couple of friends of the channel that are education experts. I'd love to get them in here to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah, no,
and
I
that
agree, but,
study, you know, in particular.
So getting back to the teachers unions, folks, if you're listening, if you want to know where your if you're in the teachers union, you want to know where your money's going from the NEA, look up For Our Future Action Fund, right? And that's where millions are going. And they spent, by the way, $176 million in 2023. This is the National Education Association, spent $176 million of dues on things like For Our Future Action Fund, which, quote, pushes progressive power through voter engagement, issue advocacy, and community organizing with a focus on social justice and climate change. Now, Erica, do you want to tell me what the hell that has to do with providing better teachers to educate our kids so they can compete in the world? Because isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
I didn't hear anything in that. I heard some commie gobbledygook.
You heard like that, right?
Yeah.
So let me read this again. Progressive power through voter engagement, issue advocacy, community organizing with a focus on social justice and climate change. So this is what the teachers union, the NEA, is supporting and investing money in. All the while they're losing members, which tells you they don't give a damn.
I mean, that's
they don't care.
Teaching people to vote on climate change make teachers' lives better, make education better, make student outcomes better? If you can provide for me the evidence, Robert, I would bet.
I can't provide.
See, you are a smart man. You are a reasonable man. I bet if they provided some evidence that somehow any of that did anything good for the children's, we would probably be for it. But we know that it doesn't.
Wait a minute. National Education Association, the NEA, is the word children in there at all? Is the word teacher in there at all?
Oh, that's right? Interesting. Robert, that is not fascinating. Either.
Well, it's also obvious, right? They are a political organization and they are part of the machine, and their job is to get, it used to be to get Democrats elected. Now it's to get progressives elected so that more money funnels to them so they can get more of them elected so they can push this agenda that they have to, what's the agenda? We're 5 days away from transforming the United States of America. Unifying thing.
What was your girlfriend's salary again? What was it? The Hoppin' Hobbit. Oh, no, she's not NEA. She's
No. That's the American Federation of Teachers.
That's right. But
I can tell you.
Doesn't she make she makes like a six-figure salary, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah, I want to say 300, but wait a minute. The NEA president's name is Becky Pringle, right? I'll have chip, please. Wait.
Dude, that is such an elementary school teacher's name, Becky Pringle.
Last year she made $495,787. So let's just round it off to $500,000. So she makes $500,000. And guess what the average teacher salary is in this country?
Like $50,000?
Nope. Take a guess.
70,000?
42. So she makes more than 10 times the average teacher's salary to push this progressive propaganda crap on everyone.
Teachers out there, you need to cancel your membership, cancel your dues, screw these
people.
Well,
you people, just
say
one word.
Start your own homeschool.
Janus, J-A-N-U-S, which is a Supreme Court decision that you guys can quit the unions. They can't force you to be a part of the union. And then just move to a state where there's right to work. So I know we're getting the high sign. Folks, let me just segue this again and tell you, June 5th, Israel Appreciation Day, has nothing to do with them being a Jewish state. It has nothing to do with them even as an ally of the United States. It's all the other positive contributions that Israel has made, continues to make, whether it's freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, medicine, technology, human rights. I mean, you know, Queers for Palestine, you should try to go there, right? LGBTQ, see how far that gets you. All these women in this country who don these burqas and put on their face covering, talk to the women in Iran who, if they take it off, get killed because they're not allowed to unmask their face. So, mm-hmm. you know, there is a cognitive dissonance thing going on. So it's important we understand that how special Israel is in the middle of the Middle East. Israel Appreciation Day, June 5th, Washington, D.C. Be there. Why Israel Appreciation Day? Because no one is telling the Israel story about why Israel's existence is so important, not just as a Jewish state and not just as an ally of the United States, but for all the positive achievements Israel has contributed to the world in science, technology, medicine, human rights, religious freedoms, rule of law, democracy, and so on. We need to start winning the public relations information war and change the narrative, especially among our younger generations. We need to get the information out there and arm those people who understand the seminal importance of Israel to the world. And being the Jewish homeland doesn't begin to tell that story of why Israel is so important. It's something we all can come together on, and honestly, it's something we all must come together on. It is imperative the general public understands the nature of the very special relationship between Israel and the United States and Israel's importance to the world. So please join us on June 5th in Washington, D.C. as we celebrate Israel Appreciation Day. And if you cannot be there in person, we'll be streaming live on the web at israelappreciationday.com. Never again is now.
I'm looking forward to that, Robert. It's going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know we don't have much time left, but I did want to segue to one of your favorite topics in closing, right? I didn't say your number one favorite topic. I said one of your favorite topics, right? Okay. So, you know, I mean, Lord Benjamin, I understand is number one. So,
he's,
you know,
so
as the man in the house, though, you know, I'm being sexist and misogynist, he should be number one, which brings us to the topic I did want to talk about, which was modern day feminism.
Oh,
right. Now, you know, it's sort of like a white guy talking about black issues. It's like a male talking about female issues or feminism. Mm. I mean, I realize I'm on thin ice here. Right?
Oh, get me fired up. No, you just, this is where Robert asks Erica about girl stuff. This is what, like when we have, when off air and we have Erica asks Robert about Jewish stuff. That's what we do. I love
Exactly. So do you know who Phyllis Chesley is?
No.
Chesler. So she is one of the original feminists in the 70s. And it's called the second, you know, she was an icon feminist. Look her up. So she puts out an article, which is fascinating, where she just takes to task these modern day feminists, right? Because they're really not defending feminism and they're not defending women. I mean, part of this is obvious. I mean, where are all the women's rights group standing up to argue against transgendered women or transgendered men? I don't know what you're supposed to call them, but basically men, physically men competing in women's sports, right?
Yeah.
No, where's all the women's rights groups speaking up on this?
Oh, so, it's outrageous. Robert, I don't understand it. And I love it. So, yes, Stuart Schlafly. So
no, Phyllis Chesler
is a different person?
Phyllis Chesler.
Oh, wait, what did this come? What is this thing that came up? Never mind. Anyway,
she was part of the second wave called the radical feminists that pushed, pushed for equal rights and those kind of things. But here's what she says, which I want your opinion on.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay.
I want your opinion on. She says, it's a sorry sight to behold college-age American women committing civil disobedience on behalf of a savagely misogynistic terrorist organization, hypnotically joining in Muslim prayers on campus and happily donning the hijab, even as Muslim women in Iran and Afghanistan are being jailed and even murdered for refusing to do it. Let me finish. She said, like the Democratic Party, they too are no longer interested in a sex-based equal rights amendment, but in an amendment geared to identity rights. In their view, it is only fair, quote unquote, that trans women, aka men, be allowed to compete with cisgender women, aka real women, in sports, occupy women-only jails, share locker rooms, showers, and bathrooms with those who menstruate, get pregnant, give birth, breastfeed, and experience menopause. So will the real feminists stand up, please? What right say here. You?
Right here.
What say
okay,
you?
A real feminist for women. I love that the old school feminists are standing up and fighting against this stuff because
she's a radical in her day.
Well, and that's the thing is it's one thing to be right. like, if I get divorced, I shouldn't be, incapable of getting a loan and I shouldn't be discriminated against for a job and like legitimate problems that women had back in the day. Like, Are we now so free and so equal that we've gone all the way around the circle to make men the most important thing again?
I'm all for that.
When you talk about the upside down Alice in Wonderland, it is outrageous. Any woman who defends the rights of men to take their stuff is not a feminist. You are women. You are not pro woman. You are a nut. You are an absolute nutter.
Look, I think that this argument can be summed up with two pictures. You have Leah Thomas on the one side. That's the guy who became a woman and won all the, the records in swimming versus mm-hmm. Riley Gaines, who is a real woman from birth, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It amazes me. It's still, again, where's the outrage? We're going to end the show where we started, which is where's the outrage? Where are the women's groups? Where are the women's group that are loud and vocal that says this is wrong? Look, the only ones I see standing up are people like Martina Navratilova and people like Riley Gaines, of course,
legitimate
and others.
Legitimate athletes who know what it takes, who know what it means, who actually have to suffer the consequences of their ideology.
Yeah, even and I think it was one of the Williams sisters too, Serena Williams or Venus Williams. Yeah. I don't remember which one.
She refused to play somebody.
Right. So again, the other thing she said, she goes, ironically, the anti-capitalism, anti-imperialism, anti-Americanism, as well as intersectionality, were neat ways of denying Islamic gender and religious apartheid. And a long history of Islamic imperialism and anti-black slavery. Religious. Look, she's basically saying that Islamic values are a gender and religious apartheid, especially when it comes to right. I mean,
where's the lie?
That's pretty ballsy.
Where's the lie?
Well, again, it comes back to so if you're gay in this country, man, or homosexual, lesbian, if you're a woman, whatever, I don't get all the right terms, and you're all for this sort of anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian stuff, go live in one of those countries and see how that's working for you. And I'm not telling you to if you don't like this country, leave. I'm just saying there's an inconsistency. No, but there's an inconsistency. You say you're for these rights, yet the organization and the places and the people you're supporting would deny the very rights that you find important to yourself that's allowing you to demonstrate in this way. It is the height of cognitive dissonance.
And that's why you're seeing the fracturing of the victimhood coalition on the left. People thought that the victimhood coalition assembled by Barack Obama could be perpetuated forever. And it can't.
But it has to collapse
under its own weight. That's why you see Jewish people now with all this crazy stuff. Jewish people are leaving the new plantation. We'll call the leftist plantation. Jewish people are leaving that plantation.
Nope.
Soon other people are going to have to leave too.
Nope, they're not leaving. No, they have a moment of cognitive dissonance because they have to say, well, I'm either voting for abortion rights or I'm voting for Trump, and I can't vote for Trump. Most of them are saying is, I can't vote for Biden, but I can't vote for Trump, so I'm not going to vote. Great. That's what they're saying.
I mean,
that might be better.
I don't know.
Well, look, at the end of the day, the single most important right you have is the right to vote in a free and fair election. and the right to determine your who your leaders are. If you don't exercise that right because, well, it's my right not to vote. Yes, it is. But if you don't exercise that right, you have no ability or no grounds to complain about the results.
Because you abstained.
You said, I'm not taking a position. And it's too hard for me. I can't choose between the lesser of two evils. So I'm going to choose nothing. That's not life. That's not acceptable.
Yeah. Well, I also have the very unpopular opinion that not everyone should have the right to vote. I think we should get rid of the constitutional amendments that give everyone carte blanche ability to vote. I think you should have to earn it. I think it's a privilege and not a right. And I think letting people, I don't remember where the quote came from, but it was somebody smart back a long time ago that said, as soon as the electorate realizes they can vote their hands into other people's pocketbook, our republic is over. And sure enough, what has happened? We have the Federal Reserve. We've got welfare. We've got all these entitlements. We've got all of this crazy stuff. And now we have illegal immigrants in our country demanding my money. I mean, come on, bro. Like, get all the way up out of here. Anybody who voted for a sanctuary city, you lose your right to vote. Anybody who thinks that illegal immigration is cool, you lose your right to vote. Anybody who wants to be lazy and not work, no voting. I could keep going.
Well, please do. Is this Erica's rants? There's Robert rants. This is a rant. I like that.
Go ahead,
Erica. At the end of the day, the right to vote is sacrosanct, and I agree that I wish the voters were more informed before they cast a vote, but unfortunately, because we've lost control of academia, they've dumbed down the process. Again, we've had this discussion.
Yeah,
academia used to teach people how to think. Now it's more important that they be taught what to think. It's an indoctrination, and they don't teach civics. People don't know how the government works. Here's a test for you. We've always talked about this man on the street thing, which I'd love to do. I would love to hold up a map of the Middle East and say, find Israel on the map. I'm not sure they could find their own state on the map of the United States.
No,
the hell are not going to be able to find Israel in the Middle East. They don't know how their government works. They know that they have a right to vote. They know that they have a right to dissent. They don't even understand the limits, that there are limits of free speech when it comes to, violence or inciting violence, right? But I am an old school liberal, believe it or not. And the old school liberal is, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. We have so lost that ability. But right to vote, if you don't vote, there are people in other countries who die to vote. If you don't vote and you abstain, you have no right to have any say in any outcome because you did not participate in the process.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and by the way, that's one of the important things about Israel. Israel is a democracy. By the way, here's your last question in your test. Name another democracy in the Middle East.
There isn't one.
So again, they talk about from the river to the sea. It wasn't a trick question. It was a fair question. They talk about from the river to the sea.
Yep.
Well, imagine a world where Israel doesn't exist. And what would that be like? And that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the things we're going to talk about at Israel Appreciation Day. Mm. You want to drive Israel into the sea, right? Go, drive the Jews into the sea. Christians, you're next. But what if Israel didn't exist? Israel Appreciation Day, June 5th, 2024, in Washington, D.C.
Come back and see us next week. Learn more.
Why Israel Appreciation Day? Because no one is telling the Israel story about why Israel's existence is so important, not just as a Jewish state, and not just as an ally of the United States, but for all the positive achievements Israel has contributed to the world in science, technology, medicine, human rights, religious freedoms, rule of law, democracy, and so on. We need to start winning the public relations information war and change the narrative, especially among our younger generations. We need to get the information out there and arm those people who understand the seminal importance of Israel to the world. And being the Jewish homeland doesn't begin to tell that story of why Israel is so important. It's something we all can come together on, and honestly, it's something we all must come together on. It is imperative the general public understands the nature of the very special relationship between Israel and the United States and Israel's importance to the world. So please join us on June 5th in Washington, D.C., as we celebrate Israel Appreciation Day. And if you cannot be there in person, we'll be streaming live on the web at israelappreciationday.com. Never again is now.